This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
The Pulse 1077 WTPL and Food for Thought with Carol and Mike is brought to you by Casey's Rib Shack, famous Hickory Smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue on 2nd Street in Manchester, and Grasshopper's Garden Center. Boy, I bet they're glad to see the rain today. 728 New River Road in New Boston, online at grasshoppersgardencenter.com. This is a good day. The clouds, the rain. Pick up a good book, one of which may be a Chicken Soup for the Soul book. Been around for 22 years, and it's my pleasure to say hello to Amy Newmark, publisher, editor-in-chief, and co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. Amy, welcome. So nice to have you on Food for Thought.
Oh, thanks. I'm happy to be on, and I'm happy to be on in New Hampshire since my daughter is moving there. When is it? This Friday.
Ooh, wow. You'll be passing through the state this coming Friday. Well, we've arranged for especially good weather for this weekend. So is she moving in this weekend, or is it kind of a visit to the college?
She's buying her house Friday, and then she has to go back to medical school in Rhode Island and graduate, and then she's moving Monday. And I already bought my season ticket to Sunapee, so I'm all set for next season. Yeah, I'm going to be in New Hampshire a lot.
Wow, you're practically moving in. Well, you know, Amy, my takeaway from the Chicken Soup for the Soul brand is that after 22 years, your series really proves that people will embrace positive messages that not only entertain but inspire. Does that kind of sum it up?
Yeah, everything we do is designed to make people feel better, to feel motivated, to make them see how they can tweak their lives to make them better. But, you know, we do have a lot of books that are just plain entertaining, too, like our books about dogs and cats. You know, there's a lot of funny stories and just fun stories as well. But every story is chosen with me thinking, oh, I bet somebody would want to email this to their relative or their friend. You know, every story makes you feel something, even if it's just a big belly laugh. Like the story that you wrote, Mike, about giving your girlfriend the nurse's pajamas. Not realizing they were nursing pajamas.
Yeah.
That's still one of my favorites ever.
Well, that means a lot that you would say that, because when I met you a couple years ago, I said, all right, here's a woman who's read thousands of stories. I'm going to introduce myself and tell her what my story's about, and she's going to pretend to know what it was. But you genuinely did remember it, and that meant a lot to me.
But, you know, it might just be because it was so incredibly embarrassing, Mike.
I'll take that, whatever, Amy.
You're going to go on you're on the wall of shame. No, I thought it was hysterical. And you were so well-meaning. And, you know, women, we love it when we read stories about men being well-meaning but somehow messing up a little in a cute way. So, of course, I remembered your story.
Well, I have to tell you that it's when I speak publicly, which is pretty frequently, if the occasion merits, I will often tell that story. And then credit Chicken Soup for the Soul books. But it's a great icebreaker to reveal your vulnerability, as you point out, as many men have.
Yeah, I tell a lot of stories myself where I make fun of myself. Because, I mean, you have to. It's great to tell people what you've done wrong that's funny. You have to be able to laugh at yourself. And, oh, by the way, since you're a food show, we just had to redesign the packaging for our food line, which is a good example of having done something wrong and then trying to fix it.
So, all right, so explain what you mean by that, because maybe not everybody realizes that you rolled out a soup food line a couple years ago, which I tried and really liked it.
The soup is great, and all the food is great, and we had a really positive response from the retailers. We had something like 4,000 stores, you know, in various chains across the country. And we put the food out everywhere, and people loved it. But then we found that people weren't responding well to the actual packages. They loved what was inside the packages, but they didn't love the look of the soup boxes and the other packaging. And so this is really funny. We hired a firm to do consumer research, and they suggested some new designs. And the design they came up with is the two hands making a heart. You know, like what Taylor Swift does.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have to admit that when I saw it, I thought they were kidding. I said, really? The two hands making it a heart? And they said, no, we're really sure. And then everyone in our office loved it. and we repackaged our soup. We did a test at Giant Eagle, which is a nice chain of grocery stores in Pennsylvania. So we did a test in the Pittsburgh area, and the results have been coming in from the test now for the last few weeks, and it's been mind-boggling. The soup is flying off the shelves with this new packaging with two hands making a heart shape. And so I stand totally corrected. I mean, the cool thing is they're coming back and they're buying more soup. Like, they take it home. The package makes them take it home. They take it home. They eat it. They love it. They go back and they buy more. And so there was some metric. I don't remember what it was anymore because that's not my area. I'm in the book area. But there was some metric we had to meet in order to be a success. And we're doing multiples of that metric now with our soup. So I think you'll be seeing us roll out the food again with this new packaging design with the two hands making a heart, just the way Taylor Swift does it. And I guess I Googled it, and this has been around for a long time, this two hands making a heart thing, and I just completely missed it.
All right, so Taylor Swift isn't going to sue you now, is she?
No. I checked. They were doing this when she was still a little kid. Yeah.
Hi, Amy. I'm the Carol of the Carol and Mike, and while we're on the food, talking about the food part of it, a few years back, you rolled out a high-quality food line. Seemed like a natural fit to me.
Yeah, people kept saying to us, when are you going to come out with soup? And if you think about it, we had a great food brand name, right? Chicken Soup for the Soul, but we never made the chicken soup. And so we came out with it, and the chef who we hired is John Doherty, and he was the executive chef of the Waldorf Astoria for many years. And I think he became executive chef when he was only in his mid-20s. I mean, he's a real superstar in the cooking world. And he came up with these great soups. And you know what people told us was that they said at most companies, the executives don't spend so much time tasting everything. I mean, we tasted every barbecue sauce, every broth, every soup, every pasta sauce, every cooking sauce that we made. We tasted everything over and over and over again. And tweaked everything and made it perfect with John working with us. And so, yeah, the soup, the foods are all fabulous. I think we're going to focus now on the soup because that seems to be our natural spot. And I personally love our chicken noodle soup. I love our tomato basil soup. We have a minestrone soup that is out, it's just out of this world. There's 6 or 7 soups in the line. But anyway, people have responded really well, but even better now with the two hands making the heart on the packaging. And then on the back of the packaging, we have a little message from me talking about how hard we worked on the soup. And also in this little letter that I have on the back that I've signed, I also talk about how we give a portion of our revenues from everything we sell, including our food line, to charity. And our big focus right now with the revenues from our food line is a breakfast in the schools program.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up. This is a perfect segue to mention the fact that you have partnered with an organization, a foundation, that will do some contributions, I believe, in some Texas schools, promoting tolerance, respect, and compassion. So you're finding the important things, and I think people are probably going to respond to that series of books.
Yeah, so we are so involved with doing good all over the place. I mean, we are we're called socially conscious. That's the new thing. Corporations want to be socially conscious. We most certainly are. So in addition to supporting breakfast at school, and we support something called the Humpty Dumpty Institute, which does a lot of work to fight hunger, poverty in its many forms, we also are working with a wonderful man named Dr. Milton Boniuk, down in Houston, and he is passionate about fighting intolerance. He started out with religious intolerance because he's very concerned about infighting in Islam and the rise of anti-Semitism in the world and just all of this crazy religious intolerance in our country and in the rest of the world. And he's now branched into intolerance of all kinds, including bullying, which is such an important issue these days. And so we're working with Dr. Boniuk, and we're putting out a series of books that are focused on fighting intolerance and promoting respect and compassion and tolerance for people's religions and cultures and ways of life. And then we're also making a TV show that Dr. Boniek is sponsoring. It will be on CBS. It's starting October 3rd. We have a 52-week commitment. It's going to be called Chicken Soup for the Soul's Hidden Heroes. It will be on Saturday mornings, which is a family viewing time. And the show will highlight people doing the right thing, being confronted with a situation using a hidden camera, and then making the right decision. And so it's going to be a really entertaining show and very thought-provoking in a very entertaining way for parents and children to talk about, hey, if you were confronted with, I don't know, trash all over the street, would you bend over and pick some of it up? If you were in the grocery store and a little old lady, you know, needed some help with her shopping, would you give her 10 minutes and help her with her shopping? If you saw somebody doing something intolerant, would you step in and try to help? That kind of thing. So we're really excited about this whole project because it's in our sweet spot. And it allows us to use storytelling to do a lot of good in the world.
People may not realize that you, your husband, and an investor group bought the company 7 years ago from its creators.
Yeah, Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen were the founders of Chicken Soup for the Soul back in 1993, and they ran it for the first 15 years, and then they got really busy with other parts of their business. They're both big motivational speakers, and they were looking for somebody to come in and take Chicken Soup for the Soul to the next level, but stay true to their legacy. And we have stayed true to that legacy. We use storytelling to improve people's lives, to affect change in the world. And we still put, you know, stories from regular people who have had extraordinary experiences in the books. And we've taken it to the next level by going to TV. Movies. We have a major motion picture under development with Alcon, which is the same studio that did The Blind Side. We've come out with this crazy new website where you could go on and read stories for free and have a lot of fun poking around in our library. And we also have the food business, and we've also ramped up our pet food business, which is now coming out with gluten or grain-free dog food, which is a hot new area in pet food. So, yeah, we put the brand name on a lot of other things. We do them all ourselves, though. It's not licensed out. It's all us.
Amy Newmark is the publisher, editor-in-chief, and co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. And as you hear, many, many other ventures are extending the brand to other people's sections of their lives. You talked about it's all about making people's lives better to one degree or another. So I'm going to kind of turn the tables and ask you, having read thousands of chicken soup stories, because that's your primary job, you must find yourself being affected by them from time to time. I mean, how could you not?
Yeah. So I thought I was nice before, but apparently I wasn't, because now people are saying, oh, you've gotten so nice. You know, and I don't know. They're not saying, like, you've gotten even nicer. So I'm not really sure how to take that, but apparently I'm nice now, even if I wasn't before. And it is true that I have changed. I've noticed it because I'm a lot less judgmental and a lot more understanding of the fact that people make mistakes. And I just shrug things off. And I find that I don't take things personally at all. If I'm in a store and the clerk is having a bad day and she's not very nice to me when I'm checking out, I don't care. I mean, I had a guy yell at me for 20 minutes a few weeks ago, and he was really having his own issues. He was getting divorced, and he had a lot of problems, and he was yelling at me for something. And I was just letting him rant, and my husband said to me, how can you take that? I said, because it's not about me. I don't care. Let him rant. You know, I'll just listen and see what I can glean from what he's saying. And I just don't take things personally. I feel more grounded. So I'm actually writing my own book, and I'm going to need some advice from Mike, because my first problem is actually finding time to write the book. So it's all a great concept, but I actually have to sit down and create the book. But it's called Maverick with a Mission, and it's basically about how I went from Wall Street to Main Street, when I went from being on Wall Street, being a short seller, being very skeptical of, you know, all these stories out there from all these people promoting stocks, to now doing Chicken Soup for the Soul. And instead of just focusing on the two Wall Street emotions, which are fear and greed, now I'm looking at the whole range of human emotions.
Whoa. So you're flipping it about 180 degrees, if I'm reading this correctly, almost.
I am, but I still feel like that cynic inside me that was on Wall Street is still here, because I do so much fact-checking of our stories. And we'll go back to people and we'll say, I'm sorry, but you gave us this story, and based on our calculations and our Google search, you were 21 when that happened, not 20. And they'll be like, are you kidding me? And we'll say, well, we want the story to be accurate, but I think it's left over from my Wall Street days when everything had to be exactly right.
Well, I feel better now. I didn't get a call from any of your staff after my pajama stories.
Yeah, you had accurately embarrassed yourself, so we didn't have to change anything.
Hey, Amy, is it possible for you to recreational read a book and not be proofreading at the same time?
Almost. So I just finished this Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Goldfinch, last night. I just finished it at 1 in the morning, and I'm kind of glad I'm done with it, because I kept staying up till 1, 2 in the morning reading it, because it is huge. But it was so good. But as I was reading it, I was kind of proofreading. And at some point, I remember I was in a section of it where I saw a couple of typos, and I was so shocked, because... You know, it's a Pulitzer Prize-winning book, and so they've printed millions of copies of it, but it still had some typos. Makes me feel a little better about ours, because basically you can't put a book out without having a typo in there somewhere, no matter how hard you try.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you here. The times that I do send emails to you, I go over it like 9 times, because I don't want to embarrass myself to this wonderful editor-in-chief and publisher with some poorly written email information. So hopefully you're not looking at that going, oh, this guy's such a loser.
Oh, gosh, no. And, you know, like I write a lot of my emails just all lowercase, because it's faster. I don't have to deal with capitalizing stuff. So my emails are a mess.
Amy, it sounds to me you were destined to do what you do after researching your college thesis in Brazil.
That was so weird. It took me a while to even understand that my life had come full circle, because when I was in college, I majored in something that was incredibly productive and really set me up for a career. Not actually. I majored in Portuguese-Brazilian Studies Track 2, which means that I chose the social anthropology track instead of the literary track. And I know that's absurd, but I went to Harvard, and they had 2 ways you could major in Portuguese-Brazilian Studies. And I was the only major in the whole college. There was just me and 2 professors. But I did go to Brazil, and I did my thesis on a form of popular poetry, which is a form of storytelling in Brazil. And I collected, I have this huge collection of hundreds of these stories told in poem form, and these little printed folhetos, they call them, little folios. And I, you know, wrote my whole thesis, compiled all this stuff, wrote stories about the people. And it was only when I was like a year into dealing with Chicken Soup for the Soul that I realized, oh my gosh, I was collecting stories from the people when I was 20, and then I was collecting stories from the people again at age 50. So it really was full circle, with a whole lot of Wall Street stuff in the middle.
Before we let you go, Amy, for those listening that think they might have a story, I mean, your business depends on us, and even non-published writers, to share stories, to tell a good story. How can they do this? Because maybe they don't know what the first step is.
So the cool thing about us is that you don't have to be published. You don't have to have any credentials at all, because everyone is equal. And we get thousands of stories submitted for every book at chickensoup.com, and we read every one of the stories that is submitted. And what you do is you go to chickensoup.com, and you go to the very bottom of the homepage, and you click on something that says Submit Your Story. That takes you to that part of our website, and you'll see our possible book topics that we're working on. You'll see writing guidelines for the stories, and then you'll see a way to submit your story. And there are people who submit stories to us for years, and then they finally get in. And it's interesting. Even when they don't get in, they find the act of writing their story is empowering, and it gives them something to share with their friends and family, even when we don't publish it, and it helps them organize their thoughts if they're writing about something difficult. So they find that just submitting the story is a very positive experience for them, even if they're in, you know, the vast majority of people who don't make it into that particular book.
I want to mention the most recent book is It's Your Time to Thrive, which actually I kind of wish that I was aware. I somehow missed the fact that that was being solicited some time ago, because I kind of, that's what I've done. I've reset my life, and there are lots of things that other people are doing to inspire those who want to pursue a dream, and I think that's kind of the gist of your latest book. Am I right on that?
It is. I mean, the Time to Thrive book is doing really well, and it's such a cool idea. Of course, I thought of it. So I don't know why I'm saying it's a cool idea. That's ridiculous. I have to work a little bit on that, on the humility side of things. But I liked the concept because it deals with two things. Either the big life changes, like I'm going to get rid of this job and I'm going to go do something new and different and I'm thriving in that way, or the little things, like I'm happy with my life, but I kind of feel bad that I stopped playing the piano 10 years ago and I'd like to pick it up again. Mm. And so it's the little ways you can tweak your life and thrive, or those big ways that you can change your life and thrive. And there are great stories in there about people changing careers, picking up and moving halfway across the country, living in a city and deciding to go live at a ski resort, or just picking up the piano again, you know, little things like that. But it's very motivational, because you can see how anybody can take their life and tweak it a little bit and have an even better life than they currently have.
Be looking for Amy Newmarket, publisher, editor-in-chief, and co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, to be in New Hampshire, perhaps a little more frequently as her daughter is moving up here, buying a house. And you've got your ski pass for Mount Sunapee already, so you are good to go, girl.
I am good to go, and I'm looking forward to being in your beautiful state. And I love the slogan, live free or die. That's fabulous. Mm-hmm. And if you're at Dartmouth Hitchcock Hospital and you need an OBGYN, well, my daughter will be there.
The shameless promotion for her daughter. I love that. Well, another shameless promotion. If you like true Americana diner food, Carol Lawrence owns a number of diners in the greater Manchester area called Red Arrow. So when you and your husband are up looking for a quick quality meal, that might be a little stop-in for you.
We will definitely keep that in mind.
What a pleasure talking to you, Amy. We'll stay in touch and hope to see you sometime when you're up here in the Granite State.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Been a pleasure. Bye-bye. There you go. We're at 129, and I think, is Dad coming in today?
They're both in the green room.
Oh, they are. Oh.
They are. So, yes, food for thought. We need to go on a short break. When we come back, Dad will be in the house, and I believe he's giving a short rib recipe. So,
oh, I love short ribs. Oh,
yeah. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We're live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You can stream us live on WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And we are in studio with my dad, George Lawrence. And, Dad, I think today, what, we're talking short ribs?
Short ribs. Short
Yum.
Ribs.
Everybody loves short ribs.
One of my favorites.
It is one of my favorites, you know. But it's really hard to find a good recipe to me that I can really say it's great, because it's not consistent. A lot of times I'll cook over, cook under. The flavor isn't right there. But I did find this. I'm going to have to read a little bit, because I did not make it, but I do know it by heart. You start with boneless short ribs of beef, and you're going to saute them. The sizes you should have is maybe 3-4 inches long. You know, they're on the length. You saute them at a very, very high temperature in your saute pan, which I love to saute. Saute them both sides. Don't be afraid to get that pan real hot in canola oil, because your temperature is a lot higher. And then with a pair of tongs, you just gently put them into a hotel pan or an aluminum pot with the cover on it, and just get them all done, put them in a pot, and then you're going to add some mirepoix, which is the base for everything, chopped celery, onions, and carrots. Put that in there. Then a canned sauce of adobo with the pepper. And I said, wow, that's a little different. And fresh chicken broth, very strong, meaning you make your own. You ever notice when you buy it, it's weak?
Mm-hmm.
you taste it, you're almost next between water and chicken, you know. But it's a chicken broth, you know. There's certain kinds, though. The ones for $3.99 are very good.
Well, right here. You know, it's funny that you're mentioning
chicken
broth. Yeah,
I always have a hard time with the canned stuff.
Well, you know your Cook's Kitchen?
Yeah.
This magazine here?
Okay.
They talk about cooking with chicken, and they actually talk about they use chicken broth in probably 90% of their recipes.
Okay.
And they said most of the time they, you know, do when they don't use their own, they use the best kind, like out recommended, is Swanson's chicken.
It is Swanson's.
Yeah.
Because that's $1.99.
They said $3.19. Says, well, it says $3.19 here.
Market Basket.
I think at Market Basket is $1.99.
Well, I think there's a small and a big one.
Right.
Maybe
right.
Talk about
the
big one.
But they said after all of the research they did, and they talk about the research of their chicken broth. They tried all of them,
well,
and their best one they use is
that
Swanson's
straightens
chicken
me chicken. Out somewhat.
Yeah. Well, it's just for people to know. You know.
The best type is that mirepoix with two whole chickens, 4 pounders, and a nice big stock pot. And cook the living daylights out of it and boil it. Take the chicken apart, and you've got some broth. The broth, it'll be like jello.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're talking about
right.
in the short ribs. Right. Anyways, we get sidetracked.
So nice and thick.
Right.
And even, what about even if you would use one and then add a bouillon?
Yeah, bouillon or the restaurant type that you can buy at Chisco, that's the chicken base.
Right.
Because it's not salted.
Right. Okay. All right.
Bouillon cubes are salty, but they work.
Yeah. Okay.
They're weak again.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
So where are we? We're with the mirepoix. We're with the fresh chicken stock and some fresh thyme. And yeah, we're right there. Oh, no. Some alamy. The name of it is Dr. Pepper short ribs. And they serve this in a restaurant in Missouri. And they got a pitcher and they Dr. Pepper this way to cover the meats.
Really? The soda?
There is a line out the door. And I remember I told you I do Dr. Pepper with my meatloaf now?
Yeah.
And it's a heck of a lot better than, sorry, Coke, but Coke is always great. Dr. Pepper is better.
Well, Coke makes Dr. Pepper, I think.
Oh, is it? I'm not even sure.
I think so.
It is so good. They're not hurting nobody.
No.
And then you put it in there, you cover it a little bit. And, you know, make sure that it says ample. Don't be afraid of it. I know why, because it reduces, you know.
So you do the Dr. Pepper and the chicken broth.
Oh, and chicken broth. Chicken broth and Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
And then you cover with tinfoil or a hotel pan. Restaurant would be tinfoil. Your home would be a regular cover. Preheated 350 for 4 hours. I saw them make it. And I have not had the opportunity to make it. One of these Sundays, I will do it. Definitely one of my top priorities. In fact, it'd be a good Wednesday one here, making a sandwich.
Sign me up for that
we
one.
We thought maybe of a taco, too. I mean, a little bit
short
of cheese.
Short rib taco?
Yeah.
Oh.
A little bit of black beans and cheese. I think that would be unbelievable because it's a well-done meat.
Yes.
But anyways, these are the things you can do with it. Over there, they just serve it what they do when you're ready because it's a restaurant thing. You cook it the night before that morning. You take them out of the walk-in. You take your short rib out, and you take that good old saute pan in and out. You put a little canola, a little Evia oil with a little bit of butter. In fact, there was 3 or 4 pats of butter. Because you take that braising liquid first, and you thicken it down. It was the nicest-looking sauce I have ever seen. Rich. And I know the Dr. Pepper, and oh, my God, it was just great. Same old Guy Fieri says, this is it. And it is. You really believe him, but I could see the people. And he interviews
him. Oh, so this was on Triple D.
Triple D. It was Triple D. I watch him a lot late at night. And it was in Missouri. And like you said, there's a lot more of these diner dives around. And it was unbelievable. And how they served it there was on creamy mash with mustard, greens.
Oh, collard greens.
Collard greens. They call them mustard greens. I don't know why. And I would serve it with creamy mash on with roasted potatoes.
Mm.
And they grated fresh horseradish on it. They put the braising liquid. I am going to tell you, the old line is, it sounds like it's something to die for. I'm not afraid to give the recipe out because I like short ribs. And that recipe makes very good sense.
Where do you get good short ribs around here? Because you can't count on grocery stores
you
to always
cannot.
Have them. No. Well, you have to. Sometimes if they have them, they'll cut them for you. Once in a while, I'll see them in Market Basket, you know, a bunch of them up there, and I'll grab them, but not often.
It's a wholesale level.
You
know,
is Mike? It?
You know why I say it? When you do see them, they're in every shopping center around. They're in every group.
Really?
So it must be a wholesale level. Or running short ribs this week.
Okay.
You know, but it's hard to get.
It is.
I think you'd have to go to the few select butcher shops and pay. But, well, you know, one would be the West Side there, the Square Dancer, Carol. You remember his name. He just opened a butcher shop.
Oh.
He does cattle, you know, Slaughterhouse. What's his name?
You
know, Raymond's
friend. I know where you mean.
Brian's friend. Not Raymond.
LeMay?
LeMay Beef. He's got a beautiful steakhouse.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Not steakhouse.
He has a meat house.
Shop.
Yeah.
And I know you could get it there. You could say, look, next week I want some.
Right.
And
if
you'd
let
get
them
that quality you're talking about. He's got steaks.
Yeah, I don't mind going to a good butcher once in a while.
Me neither.
You know
me
what?
Neither.
They get the access to the prime.
They do.
That the rest of the stores generally don't.
You can do that there. Listen.
Yeah. Not every day, but,
it's
you know.
Not, I want the good stuff, and they will give it to you, and you'll pay for it.
Yeah.
And it's okay. You're ready to do that.
Right.
And that's my recipe for short ribs. I think it's going to be outstanding.
So how much of, like, I mean, does the liquid with the, when you have the short ribs in your pot, does it
It was an approximate thing. I'd say it was,
I mean, I'm trying to picture
half
it.
And be very generous with the Dr. Pepper. Half.
You just cover the meat.
You just cover it.
And
you
then
the meat.
It turns thick?
No, it was still light. It thickened when you put it in a saute pan and cooked it and you reduced it some more with butter. Butter is a thickening agent.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
It was butter.
So you
know?
Do that after it's cooked for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What he did is we started with the tongs. You put your braising liquid in, and you put one of them in, and then it's cooking all around. You flip flop it a couple times, and it's done. It's quick. It's great.
See, I always think of short ribs. I always thought that you did them like on the grill or under.
To me, they don't get as tender.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they need to really marinate in the water, in the chicken stock and the Dr. Pepper
for
350.
Covered.
Yeah.
And they'll be nice and tender.
You can see it flaking off.
Yeah.
Took
right.
The fork. It was just, I mean, I could see with my eyes. Wow, this is great.
The man is almost to tears right now, Carol.
Yeah. No,
you ever
no.
See him like this before?
I just love to cook. And when I see something like that, I go crazy.
Love the passion.
I think you need to try that up in Midtown.
Yeah, I do too.
We'll do it that way. And Amanda's the one that asked. I said, I don't know if I'm going to serve it on a sandwich again. But a lot of people aren't too keen on well-done meats.
Right.
Of course, you say short ribs,
it's got a
peculiar flavor.
Right.
But she's mentioned the taco.
That's perfect. Because
we could have the price point right.
Yeah.
Somebody had that on the taco tour, actually, a short rib taco.
Yes.
I did it here 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it went well, but we ran out right away.
Yeah.
We had to substitute, but I had done the short ribs. I got them at LeMay 2 years ago. I did it with Bridget. Right.
Done deal.
I thought that's the one.
Yeah.
We only do that once a month. You know?
All right, Dad. Well, thank you.
Good job.
Welcome. That was good.
The recipe, and we need to go on a short break. And when we come back, we're going to be in studio with Julie Barron, the president and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought, Carol Lawrence and Mike Moore in the show Food for Thought on The Pulse, brought to you by Express Jewelry Center on South Main in Concord and Puerto Vallarta Mexican Grill on 2nd Street in Manchester. Outstanding, authentic Mexican food. Carol?
There we go. And let's welcome on our regular segment. We missed you last week. Julie Barron of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. You can check them out on their website. Where's my page here? It's nh.wish.org.
Yep, perfect.
Go.
Yeah.
You got it.
I got it in my
Hello,
head.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome, Julie. And before we start, because you have some papers here, I know you have a couple things I think you want to talk about. How is Maddie doing, and how is Maddie's wish from that breakfast? Because that was just
my gosh.
Amazing.
It was so amazing to see him when he came back, even.
Oh, I bet.
You know, and getting the pictures all week because his mom was really keeping, you know, in touch with everyone and sending pictures along. But he had an amazing time, and he still had. So I went to the airport when they came in, and he still had the puppet that they made him. on his hand, and his mother said he wouldn't take it off. And so he's in the airport with this puppet on his hand.
I mean, but I know Maddie's wish was to be a puppeteer.
Yeah.
And so what exactly happened when he went to L.A.? Like, what happened? Because I know that that morning, poor Maddie was, I think he was in shock. Yeah. You know, that morning.
So he actually went to Florida, and we got the Florida Puppet Guild involved. And so he met, you know, all these famous puppeteers, and they worked with him, and they made a video, and he got to actually make puppets. So one of the things that came out of it was his mom was like, oh, my God, I didn't realize he really liked to make puppets like this. So, you know, Christmas, I see Christmas gifts coming of, you know, materials to make puppets and bins. And
so maybe this is going to be Maddie's thing.
Yeah.
You know, you never know.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, he, you know, doesn't communicate all that much. And, you know, so in the early years, communicating through puppets, and I think that's how it all started, you know, is that it was easier to talk through puppets. And so that grew a love for puppets, and he's got over 100 puppets now, which is absolutely amazing.
Whoa.
And then, you know, part of it was that he wanted to be, you know, a Disney puppeteer. And so, you know, we did some stuff with the Florida Puppet Guild, and then also some of the Disney puppeteers took him for an entire day, and they went all around Hollywood studios and made a video and did puppet shows, and At the end of that day on Saturday, when he met Eric, the Disney puppeteer, he didn't want to leave. And his mother texted me that night that this was the best day of Maddie's life. I was in tears.
But isn't that what you hope to hear?
Yeah.
At the end of a trip or a day?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was pretty amazing. And that was before the whole Florida Puppet Guild got involved and you know, and some of them are actually coming to Connecticut for, I guess, this big puppeteer conference.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, yeah.
So Maddie must hopefully be going to the puppeteer conference.
Oh, yes,
sure.
Absolutely. He's got his own personal invite.
Yeah, he
and,
must.
You know, and now he's official. He's a puppeteer.
How old is
he's
he?
He's got an in now.
13.
He's 13 years old.
Yeah.
Interesting how you point out that he is able to communicate through that particular art form.
Yeah.
Which, if he didn't have that, his life just wouldn't
just
be what it
shyer
is.
And, and it's, you know, kind of opens the world for him.
Mm-hmm.
Opens the world for him.
Well, that has to be one of the more interesting, or I'll say unusual requests that I've heard through Make-A-Wish in my short time here. But you have because you've got a little spreadsheet here of wishes you're working on that it covers the full gamut. We know that Disney's up on top of the list in vacations, but there's some really interesting ones that you just, really?
Yeah.
I know, the Philippines?
Yeah, the Philippines. Yeah.
Somebody wants to go to the Philippines?
Yeah.
Or by the Philippines, which is.
Yeah. Wants to go and visit. Yeah.
Well, that one isn't too tough to fulfill, right? I mean, can happen.
Yeah. And I, in particular, I think he wants to do a cruise to the Philippines. So, you know, that'll be an interesting wish.
Yeah.
To kind of put together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we learn so much. You know, I mean.
Well, you must.
Yeah. About, you know, and especially one, you know, and I hate to admit this on the air, but, you know, we get these requests that come in and I'm like, for celebrity wishes, I'm like, who's that? I have to go.
It's because we're getting old.
Thank goodness for Google, because I have to go look these people up and go, oh, okay.
Yeah, who Taylor Swift is, come on.
Yeah. No, well, I knew that one.
Yeah. But you must get requests for Taylor Swift, or maybe, I don't know if but I'm sure that she probably is asked frequently if she can spend some time with a Make-A-Wish child.
Yeah, there's definitely some big celebrity favorites, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, sometimes they've got their shirts on when you walk in the house, you're like, oh, okay. You know, Taylor Swift shirts on and different ones. And, you know, then there are some, now I'm never good with this on, is it George Lopez who does?
He's a comedian.
Comedian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Latin comedian.
He did a wish recently and he was absolutely amazing.
He is so funny.
He went and spent the day with the child.
Nice.
It was, you know, hanging out with them at their house and doing different things. And, you know, some of these celebrities, they really get it that this kid could have anything in the whole wide world.
And they're choosing them.
And they're choosing them, which is really special.
I would imagine Taylor Swift would be pretty good.
She's very good, and she's done a lot of wishes.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I mean, you can kind of see the ones that, you know, would maybe be good. But I mean, who knows?
Is it tough to penetrate the compound of some of the celebrities that just maybe would be happy to do it, but you got to go through like 9 people to get your request in?
It is. It is. And sometimes the celebrity wishes take a little bit longer because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then some of the, you know, more popular requests, you know, I mean, there are kids around the country. You know, so, you know, we try to be fair and kind of keep them in queue unless there's some medical reason, you know, and then we, you know, leapfrog over kind of. Depending.
So all of the Make-A-Wish organizations, like all around,
right.
You all work together.
We do. We really work all together.
You know, like
together.
The Taylor Swift, there must be now a certain, you know, person to contact to get the person.
And it makes it easier that way, you know, so that depending where different celebrities live and the national team and different things, so there are different relationships. So whoever has the relationship with, you know, for instance, you know, if we wanted to wish for one of the sports teams in New England, you know, we, you know, for a Bruins wish or something, you know, we would work with the Massachusetts chapter because they've got that relationship with them, you know, rather than us calling them because they know kind of what's in queue and they already have that good relationship. So it makes it easy.
Anybody,
that went way fast.
Anybody request to go to the moon yet?
We got one in yesterday.
I knew it.
Get out.
And I swear I've been waiting because it had to come.
Yes.
So now I don't know what to do. Anyone with any suggestions, I would love it.
To go to the moon?
To go to the moon.
Oh, wow. I don't know.
I
got to think about that.
Let's see how good you are now, Julie.
I know.
Funny that you just asked that. And that just came in yesterday.
I'm laughing in the office and Denise is like, that's not funny. What are we going to do?
Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Julie, thank you very much. Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire, nh.wish.org. And Kale & Company is up next and he's in the house. He's at the beak today. So we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Bye.